Back when Jesus lived on earth, a blind person sat every day by the temple gates, earning her living by begging. On this particular day, she sensed an audience before her, and so she really put on a show. She juggled. She attempted some really bizarre contortion tricks, like putting both feet behind her head, and oof. And when she heard no money coming her way, she got desperate and just simply cried out for money or food or anything else. She said,
"Dude, I'm blind. Help me out here."
At that, several people in the audience did respond, and so they started tossing her small change, shoes, gum wrappers, anything that they could find in their pockets. She tried everything in hopes to being able to see again, because that's what she really wanted. And so she tried a faith healer.
"I demand all forces of evil flee from your eyes."
And then the faith healer slapped her on the forehead and said,
"Be healed."
But all the girl got was a headache and a whiff of the healer's bad breath, even over the webcam. And then the girl tried a hypnotist who dangled in front of her eyes a watch. And the hypnotist said,
"You're getting very sleepy."
So after several tries, the hypnotist gave up, frustrated, and left the blind girl some chemical patches to put all over her body. The blind girl immediately put several patches on her face, so many in fact, that she began to hallucinate from the smell of the glue on all the stickers. Next, she went to the marketplace to hear an infomercial for the Eye Master.
"Eye Master, get your Eye Master here. This one thing can cure you in an instant, guaranteed. If you use this product, it might cause depression, and it might also make it hard to differentiate between Coke and Pepsi. Batteries not included."
Convinced that this was the right product for her, the blind girl bought one, but this did not cure her blindness either. So then, one day, Jesus and his disciples stopped in front of the blind girl. One of the disciples said,
"I think it's your parents' fault. I think they refilled the Taco Bell soda cup without paying, and God was punishing their sin by making their daughter blind."
And then another disciple said,
"I think she wiggled too much in her mom's belly and her eyes rubbed up against her spine."
And then Jesus spoke up and explained that this blindness was not a result of any sin, but simply was an opportunity to display the work God was doing in the girl's life. Jesus said,
"While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world."
And then he spit. He aimed for the ground around him, but hit the leg of one of the people beside him. And then tried again and managed to make a small mud ball that he actually rubbed. Then he rubbed this nasty concoction on the girl's eyes. And as you can imagine, she was disgusted. And Jesus told his disciples to wash out the girl's eyes by pouring water over her head. And when it was done, the blind girl said,
"Hey, thanks. I needed that. Hey, I feel fresh and alive."
And then the girl realized what it was. She could see shapes and colors unfolded before her. Caught up in the ecstasy of the moment, she fluttered around the room like a ballerina. She touched everything in sight. She stroked one person's cheek and ran her fingers through another's hair and stared wistfully into the eyes of another. She turned to Jesus and said,
"Whoever you are thinks a million. I gotta go now. People to see, places to be."
Friends, think about a time when you have failed. A time when you put in all the work, all the effort and all the energy, and you knew your stuff and still came up short. In a sentence or a tweet-sized post, place them in the chat while I tell you about mine. You see, I was in middle school, a place where many great origin stories begin, and I somehow have made my way to a school-wide championship of a basketball game called Around the World. This is a game where the spots are around the court and you just try to see how many of those shots you can make from each of the spots. Now, this game was made for me because at home, I would shoot all the time. And being an only child, there was nobody guarding me. There was no pressure of a falling shot clock, and I could make those shots all day long. And then, on the day of the playoffs, two things threw me off. First, were some other comments from students and classmates that were said not so quietly, like, he doesn't belong here, or how did he get here? I think in part because I beat many of their friends out who were on the basketball team. And secondly, was that we could shoot as many times as we wanted from anywhere for a whole minute. And friends, that was the longest minute of my life, kind of like these quarantine days, right? I might have made 5 shots in that minute and I got crushed by everyone else. I knew that it was gonna be bad when the clock started, and I was right. It was embarrassing because of these new rules. And when the bus dropped me off that afternoon, my head was hanging low and I was walking up my driveway, but before going into the house, I grabbed the basketball and made like 7 shots in a row. The problem was that at school, I was thrown off and didn't rely on that muscle memory that I had developed from hours of shooting. Ugh. Today, we're continuing our teaching series called Everybody Always, based on a book with the same title. And author Bob Goff gives us this great reminder that it's in our failures that we most easily find God, not in our accomplishments. And so today we're going to be in conversation about how we can live life by not playing it safe. And now that doesn't mean being reckless. And so if we remember last week, Ben talked about catching others in the bounce. And so today it's all about, what about if we're the ones who are bouncing? When we fail, something happens when we are looking at the world from our backs that makes us ready for something incredible to happen. And so if we go back to our story, this is the story of the skit that our young people had from John chapter 9. Our skit showed a blind girl trying to use faith healers and infomercial salespeople and hypnotists. And in our scripture, the blind guy is desperate for help. Have you ever been in a place like that where you were willing to just do anything at a chance of hope? And when we get to that place, we rarely play it safe. And we often hear Jesus calling out to us to believe in him. Go back to your spiritual muscle memory, and then rejoice when that new life comes. As a side note, there's another story in Mark chapter 8 where Jesus restores the sight to someone who is blind, but it doesn't take quite away. And so the vision's not perfect, and he asks Jesus boldly, not playing it safe, for another touch and another healing. Man, what guts, right? And so this spiritual muscle memory will empower us to do amazing things. But the question is, how do we know we're relying on that? How do we know we're falling back on that instead of something else? So let's take a look from our scripture that Daniel read for us today, coming from Matthew chapter 6. And it said, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue and the streets and calling attention to your acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they will get what they deserve. But give your gifts in private, and God will reward you. Translation, if you're doing good so that it'll boost your social media presence, the likes are the only thing you're ever gonna get, and you're going to miss out on that fullness of the kingdom of God that is right at hand, right here and now. You know, what threw me off about my basketball failure was all of a sudden I needed to play for the crowd of my classmates, and I began to doubt that muscle memory. And it didn't work. I tried to play it safe, but that counting down clock that was just running and I couldn't stop it threw me off. When we play to the crowd, we betray the only one whose opinion matters. Look at the disciples and the people that are faithful that Jesus lifted up. They weren't playing to the crowd. They fell back on their spiritual muscle memory. They didn't play it safe. They didn't play to the crowd. And so I'm not saying that Jesus erases all of those feelings of failure when it happens, because it will. But what I am saying is that we would rather fail with Jesus than play it safe. Also, those memories of failure can turn into something really special. I remember now a number of years ago, I was leading a mission trip where an ultimate frisbee game tournament was planned. And as youth groups from all over the country who were serving there started forming their teams, I heard a number of kids saying that they wanted to play, but they weren't good enough. They didn't have a place. And so I started my own team called the B Squad, you know, the leftovers from various youth groups. And the goal was just to have some holy fun. It was a church camp. We were fixing houses, not doing some professional ultimate frisbee. And so we wanted just to play like no one else was watching. It turned out that our team was 3 sizes larger than any other team, and we had the biggest cheering section out of any of the other teams. We had a blast. At one point, I think my mom, who was on the team, tackled some poor, you know, high school freshman because she didn't know how to play, but she knew that she needed to get that frisbee. It was a blast, and everyone always has a place on the B Squad. Right? And we even won a few games, and it was great. And so remember that when we fall back on those things and play to the crowd, it devalues the work that we have done and it steals our joy. And so this week, see where you might fall back or where you might fail in the name of Jesus so that we might not live safely. Let's pray. God of grace and peace, I give you thanks for the ways in which you call us to live bold lives, to not play it safe, but to find those places where we can fall back on believing in you so that we might have life abundant, that when we are looking at the world from our back after failure, you remind us that there is more life to live. God of grace and peace, we give you thanks for this day. Amen. Thanks, guys.